You are listening to Tony Alamo, Christian Ministries Worldwide. Stay tuned at the end of the program for address, phone number, and website information so you can reach Tony Alamo Christian Ministries on radio and now streaming worldwide on the World Wide Web 11 hours daily. And now, with today's message, here's Tony Alamo.
Praise the Lord, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the sixth chapter of Romans, and there are 23 verses in this chapter. We have translation and commentary as well. And also, this is the part two of knowing the ascension, the third part of salvation. Then we have two letters and some commentary from the Larry King show that I tuned into just last evening with right now let's all go up to the throne and ask the Lord to anoint this service. Lord, we have the inward anointing, which is the spirit of life in us. And then when we minister, we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that gives us the outward anointing to be able to do and say the things that you want us to do and say. And Lord, I pray that you'll anoint me and anyone that's speaking on this tape this morning to only do and say the things that you want said and done. That people may have more life inwardly, and that they too may have the outward anointing of the Holy Spirit. That people may be stronger, Lord. That they may have life and life more abundantly. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, so where's the first letter from, Michelle?
From the Ivory Coast.
Okay.
Very dear Pastor Alamo, I address my sincere greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the grace of God dwell with you now and forever. Amen. I received your newsletters in French, and I was truly impressed with the teaching that I found in them. This allowed me to increase my spiritual life by being fed from the tree of life, which is the Word of God. I thank you, and I give glory to God for the wisdom that He is giving to the man who is seeking Him. The purpose of my letter is that I wish to learn more about God. However, I do not have the means to do that here, because in the Ivory Coast, teaching is not given priority in the churches. That is why I would like to receive other newsletters, the book The Messiah, and messages on tape that are recorded in French. Thank you and all the members of the ministry for everything that you are doing for the Word of God to be heard throughout the whole world. May our Lord Jesus Christ bless you and give you the power by His Spirit and the means to be able to continue His work. May His grace also be with you now and forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. Amen. Your brother of the Divine Living Trinity, NGF, from Aboisa, Ivory Coast, Africa.
Right, and I'd like to say on the tape for people that work in the office and in the other departments in this ministry that they should do everything possible to get translators to read these tapes in every different language. And so, Maurice, you ought to head this project. Even the Spanish department in the church is far too slow, and I wanted all the tapes brought up to current in Spanish. We're way behind on that, and also in French, Italian, German, Russian, Japanese, Chinese, every language. So let's do that right away. Get me prices on people that will do the translations. Now, where's the next letter from, Michelle?
From the West Indies.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Alamo, may the grace and peace of God be multiplied to you. There's no way to tell you how happy I am to have received the two packages that you sent to me. Thank you so much for the Messiah books and the two Bibles that you sent me also. The devil is furious because of your work. We are praying together for the advancement and the kingdom of Jesus, the great overcomer. Reverend, many people have been asking me for your writings. Please do not stop sending me your writings in French. The packages that you send have already been freely distributed. It's a powerful lever for the salvation of precious souls. Thanks for your kindness. May God keep you, give you more courage and power in his ministry. Your brother in Jesus, M.E., from Haiti, West Indies.
Okay, those that are asking for more literature, double up, triple up, quadruple up on those kind of people. Don't shortchange them, because that's what the Lord has given us finances for, and that's what I want done with my finances. The finances that God sends in here, I want to double, triple, quadruple, and keep up with every language on the tapes and on the literature, everything that we distribute. Let's get it out to them now, because we're not going to be able to do it when we go up to meet the Lord. Let's do everything that we can to get the gospel out. Every language. Now let's get it in Hebrew, everything, all these tapes, all right? Okay, now I have some commentary. I was watching the Larry King show, and they were interviewing Joyce Myers. And he made a statement that, well, you know, we can reach God in many different ways. The Muslims reach God their way, and the Catholics their way, and the Jews their way. And she didn't answer that. And that reminded me of Rex Humbart. Rex and I used to be real good friends until, and I'm still, you know, I'm praying for him. But I do have to separate myself and keep myself separate from people that preach differently than what the Lord said. There is no two ways to get to the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says there's only one name given among men whereby we must be saved, and that's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Then it also tells us, the Word of God tells us, through Jesus himself, I am the way, the only way. I am the truth, the only truth. And I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, M-E. So that leaves everybody else out. And so they say this is hate for us to preach the truth to people that are lost in these other religions. Well, that is not hate at all. This is love, because there is no way that anyone can get to the Father but through Jesus. And so she just sat there, Joyce Myers just sat there and let that ride. And then he said, well, of course, you know, how can you say that your religion is correct when there are far more Muslims than Christians, and also the Jewish religion is older than Christianity? Well, I would have liked to have been sitting there to straighten Larry King out. I would have loved to have been there, because first of all, if the Muslims are more than Christians, if that be the case, then what does that mean as so far as being right? Remember, in the days of Noah, the majority were unsaved. The majority today are unsaved. Does that mean that they're right? Absolutely not. So just even if the Muslims were more than we Christians, they're lost according to Jesus. He said, I am the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And no man cometh unto the Father into the kingdom of heaven but by me and me alone. So it doesn't make any difference. And there's only one name given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. And there's only another scripture. There's life only in Christ. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Nobody else is the resurrection and the life. Nobody else is going to raise you from the dead but the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so that should take care of any large religion. Even if they are larger than Christianity. The whole world was larger in number than Noah and his family of eight altogether. But they all died. They were drowned. God hated them. He destroyed them. All right? Now, as far as Judaism being older than Christianity, come on, where are you coming from? the Bible, both the Old and New Testament, tell of Jesus all the way from the very beginning. When Abel and Cain were giving up sacrifices, the Lord was making them, told them to give up sacrifices that were symbolic of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That goes way back to around the time of the Garden of Eden. And Jesus said, the Bible says, that Jesus was slain from even before the foundation of the world. So there ain't nothing older than that, friends. Amen?
Amen.
So the whole Old Testament, I've done a book called the Messiah Book, which tells of Jesus 333 prophecies of him. In the book of Daniel, it tells about Jesus being in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And no one can see God because God is the Spirit, so the only one that has an image of God is Christ. And Daniel saw him, and the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saw him. The king saw him, and the fourth was like unto the Son of God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? And so all these symbols in the Old Testament were pointing to Jesus. Abel was sacrificing a sacrifice that was acceptable to God because it was metaphor, a symbol, a figure, or a type of Christ. Christ was the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. So Christ goes back before Abraham. Christ said, I am. Amen?
Amen.
And there are so many, so the Christianity is the oldest religion in the world. And the Jews originally believed, before they left Egypt, they had to slaughter a lamb and then put the sign of the cross on the doorposts and on the mantle, which is the sign of the cross, before God would let them live. If there was no sign of the cross in the blood of a lamb, each person had to slaughter a lamb in the Old Testament and put the blood of that lamb on the doorpost and on the top of on the mantle. Otherwise, they would have been dead. The firstborn of everyone in Egypt would die that night if they didn't. If the Lord says, if I don't see the symbol of the blood of my only begotten Son that's going to come into this world to die. So Larry King ought to be told that Judaism is not the oldest religion in the world. Jesus Christ is the creator of heaven and earth. The Bible says that there isn't anything that was not made by him. He is the actual power and wisdom of the living God. He was before the foundation of the earth. He is the Alpha, the beginning, and the Omega, the ending. He knows the end of everything at the same time as the beginning. He says, I am he who was dead, and I am, behold, I'm alive, and I'm alive forevermore. I'm not going to die for you people again. Now, he is all the blood sacrifices in the Old Testament were symbolic of Christ coming and dying to take away the sins. There's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. And so Judaism, all of them are in their sins because they don't have blood sacrifices for 2,000 years now. And therefore, they need to accept the only blood sacrifice that is of any value for the salvation of their souls, for the forgiveness of their sins. And that's the blood of the actual Jewish Messiah that came, that fulfilled 333, at least 333 prophecies of his coming. And he came, and therefore that ended the animal sacrifices. So if the Jew has not had sacrifice or accepted the only sacrifice, blood sacrifice there is for their sins, they're still in their sin, and if they die, they're going to hell and then into the lake of fire because they're rejecting the mercy that God has sent into the world, which was his only begotten Son. The Bible plainly states that Christ would be born, the Messiah would be born on a certain day, and that he would die on a certain day. This is told in the book of Daniel. There are many scriptures that talk about how he'd be nailed, there'd be nail-pierced hands, And his feet would be nailed, and he'd be pierced in his side and sold for 30 pieces of silver. You should read the Bible. Then what else did I have written down there?
Regarding
the reason I have to have people read for me is because I'm legally blind. And, like, I'll think of things, and I'll tell them, and then they type it up, and then they remind me, and or they'll just read it as I have dictated it before. Now, go ahead.
Regarding Joyce Meyer saying in the interview that she believed homosexuals are homosexuals because they were abused.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of amazing, because I know all kinds of people that were abused, such as myself when I was a child. I wasn't sexually abused, but I was in a play organization when I was a young boy that I was beaten worse than anyone I've ever seen beaten as an animal. They were a bunch of Germans that ran this reform school, and because my name is Bernie Lazar Hoffman, I changed my name to Tony Alamo later when I became a singer. I'm Jewish. And because of that I was Jewish, these Germans persecuted me. They beat me sometimes 2 and 3 times a week with what they called the beaver strap, the beaver tail, which had was large chunks of leather with rivets and BBs running through it, and also the thin strap in Miles City, Montana at SIS, which was the state industrial school back then. The governor of Montana raided the place one day and closed it down and made sure that all the people, Mr. Horn was the president of it, and there was Mr. Johnson and other different men that worked there, and I prayed for them that they'd be saved, and Mr. Warwick and others over there. But that didn't cause me to become a homosexual or any weirdo like that. All right, so that isn't true. Joyce Myers shouldn't be. All I hear her doing is talking primarily about herself and her husband, and him throwing a loaf of bread over a counter and hitting her in the head. And that's supposed to be cute, I guess, but she likes to make herself look cute and be the friends of the people, but for God's sake, you know, that isn't what the ministry is all about. I never heard of Jesus doing anything like that. Amen?
Amen.
But, and also saying such atrocious things as that just because a person has been abused, she's given people the excuse to be homosexuals, and there's nothing repugnant in her speech about homosexuals or any other sinner for that matter. She just figures that she was raped or abused when she was a kid by her dad. And that gives her the, you know, gave her the right to be bossy and so on and so forth. That isn't talking about Jesus. She talks primarily about herself. Okay? And then what else did I have down there?
Regarding the reports from Bush's administration that he's a homosexual.
Well, there's reports that you can just turn into websites where it talks about him being a cheerleader for his... while he was a boy, and his mother was sent him to a Christian school that dealt primarily with homosexuals. And they said that he got cured from it, but there are reports that lately there is like escort services for young men are allowed to sleep in the White House at nighttime while he's there, and they're like male prostitutes. And so whether that be true or not, this is just all over the websites, and it sort of coincides with his actions. He overly tries to be macho and so on and so forth, and we know that he's a Catholic, and he lies saying that he's a Protestant. And then what else do we have? So, I mean, you can look it up on... What are the websites that you can look that up on? Okay, you did find the website on that?
Yes.
Okay, well, first, you know, I'm not saying this. This is what the... there's a huge, long report on... Several reports on several different websites. One of them is where all the reporters are wondering why they were never invited as into the press conferences and why this one certain man was, and that he was invited into the White House for overnight, and come to find out that he had a website advertising himself as a male prostitute. And there's another statement from his mother. They were upset at him because he wanted to be a cheerleader. And what did his mother allegedly say about him?
Quote.
Or to him?
Quote, "I don't give a good GD if you want to be a cheerleader. Your father and I have decided you are going to play sports like all other little boys, Mr. Sissy Bridges. Now get your hands off your damned hips, you little pansy, and fetch me a scotch on the rocks," end quote. And that was quoted by Mrs. George H.W. Barbara Bush in 1954.
And were out of any magazine or anything?
She says the website address is www.bettybowers.com.
All right. Well, so much for... there's just so much documentation on this, and I don't want to get into a situation to where I personally am slandering anybody. I'm just saying, watch out, because, the Bible says that homosexuals lie and make up false stories about people, and that apparently is the case with this attack on other nations, where they said that there was weapons of mass destruction, and there wasn't, and there's hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people's lives that were in the balances, and there was no concern about it. He'll say something that is very profound, and then all of a sudden, "Now watch me golf." Boom. This is the attitude. You know, everything is just flim-flam and that sort of thing with homosexuals. And I always thought that there was a little something wrong with him in that category myself, but other than these websites, you look it up yourself. What's that website again?
www.bettybowers.com.
And what was the name of the article?
Baptists Are Saving Homosexuals.
Right. They say that President Bush has done more for the furtherance of homosexuals than anybody else, even Clinton, who did a lot of exaltation of homosexuals. Even the Attorney General was a lesbian, and it's just getting to be like Sodom and Gomorrah. It's Sodom and Gomorrah. Because they really take their orders from the popes, and the popes are homosexual, and they're Nazis. And the same thing, one thing I do know, I've seen plenty of evidence, and we have pictures of the Bushes saying Heil Hitler, and they've got Nazi war bands on their arms, the swastika, and standing before the Nazi flag. And this country, is just amazing how deceived the people are, and in the world as well. And they show such utter respect. As I mentioned before, there was President Bush hires actors to applaud when he's saying something on television. It's like a game show or something. That's what it is with the Catholic Nazis. Everything is acting in a game. My brother was being indoctrinated when he was in the Catholic Boys Town, Nebraska. Then he got out and wanted to become secret order, and they pulled a scene on him where it was all an act. And I'm trying desperately to get my brother to put that down on tape so I can use it as a testimony. He wanted to be a Mason, and they put him in a room where they were all together. There was like couple hundred guys in a real small room, and they were in there just sweating and waiting for like 1 hour, went into another hour, and every so often it was smoke filled, people were smoking in there. And he said that every so often the door would open, it was a locked door, and you'd hear people laughing and joking, other guys out into another room, and you could tell they were drunk, and they were walking around with their stocking feet, and this is to join the Masons. And then all of a sudden, they let a Catholic priest in there, and the Catholic priest would say something, and then a bunch of them in there who were actors pretended like they were beating the Catholic priest up, and then a lot of them started jumping on everybody and causing them wanting to, because they wanted to protect the priest. And then a bunch of guys came in, it's all right, it's all over, man, this was just a joke. We were just playing. This is just your indoctrination. And so my brother says, I don't want to join an organization that is that good of actors, because that is dangerous. I'm just giving you a condensed version of what my brother told me that happened. It said he got him so uptight, so angry, that he just walked out on, since I don't want to belong to this organization, the Masons, which is a secret order of the Vatican, and all these, the Queen and the President and the whole administration, most of them, according to many of the records that we have, they show that they're Vaticanites, along with a lot of these preachers today, like Benny Hinn, who is you have something on him too, and they just are wanting to homogenize Protestantism with Catholicism, which is totally opposite of what the Lord Jesus Christ teaches, what the entire Bible teaches, is to keep ourselves separate and holy and to not homogenize ourselves with other religions. That's why Abraham Lincoln and a lot of and every true Christian says, keep yourself holy and keep yourself as far away from the Vatican as you possibly can, because it's the most dangerous religion on the face of the earth. And why? Because the Bible says that it's the Antichrist. And if you want to belong or be part of the Antichrist, which is this, then you're the same as saying you want to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. If you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, that is an unforgivable sin here in this world and in the world to come. Now, what is about, read that little bit. We can give you websites. Do you have the website on this too? Okay, on this Benny Hinn business. I've always told people he was a Catholic and pretending to be, acting as though he were a Protestant to suck in all the naive people into believing that he's Protestant, because they know that a lot of people know about Catholicism and how evil it is, and he just brazenly comes out today and says that he is Catholic. Then what? Go ahead, read it.
Shocking facts about Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn is a Roman Catholic mystic who is taking the Pentecostal and Charismatic Church down the ecumenical road towards Rome. This has been known for some time. For example, the Italian Assemblies of God refused to endorse his crusade in Rome in 1996, sponsored by the independent Pentecostals, who themselves were shocked when Mr. Hinn failed to once open his Bible on the first night of the crusade. On the second night, the interpreter refused to interpret Hinn's favorable comments about the Pope and the Catholic Church, and the music group refused to sing. The upshot was that the organizers signed a document of, quote, non-association, end quote, with Benny Hinn, and promised never to invite him to Italy again.
Well, I can also say that I have, I'll sign any document of non-association with Benny Hinn, Jen and Paul Crouch, or whatever their name is, or any of these other people. There's no possible way that they could expand as quickly as they are. That isn't the Lord, where they're able to go into Rome and all these places if they're not 100% pro-Catholic. And I've seen them on so many programs that are exalting the Pope that I've seen it with my own eyes, and I've heard them with my own eyes, and I've just recently seen Benny Hinn in Rome at the Pope's funeral, exalting the Pope and saying it's wonderful to be a Catholic. No, what the man is leading you to believe is that you should join the Antichrist Church. Now, he's Antichrist against the Bible, the Word of God. And if you want to join him, go right ahead. Now, I've also seen a story from the press that came to interview him and says, who is it that you think is healing these people, Jesus or you? And he says, you know, I really don't know. And they says, well, we've followed up a lot of the people that said they got healed in your services, and every single one of them said that after a few days they weren't healed anymore. So, you know, his ministry, when Jesus really heals somebody, they're really healed. And it's for sure. You don't want to go to Benny Hinn for healing. Just go to the Word of God. The Bible says that the Lord has already healed you. He said, by my stripes you were healed. And so, you know, no man can heal you, but Christ is the only one that is the healer. Don't go to a man, go to the healer, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God. He said, by my stripes you were healed. And he said, by belief in me, the Word of God, you are saved. You're born again. And he said that he also, on the day of Pentecost, has given his disciples the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So all these things are accomplished facts. Everything has been accomplished. The Lord has already provided these things in prosperity for those that really believe. That really believe the entire Word of God. Now, we've given you the websites on the... Did you mention the website here?
Not yet.
Okay, mention the website on this Benny Hinn situation.
www.deceptioninthechurch.com.
Now, none of this shocks me, because I can obviously tell, because I know the Bible well enough, that when somebody is speaking the way they're speaking, that they're Catholic, or they're faking it, or they'll speak with an affected voice, oh, brothers and sisters, you know that I love you, brothers and sisters, you know, you can see them all the time. They're using, and they've been doing this for years, affected voices rather than their own speaking voice. The Lord never came on like a mystic, but he was very straightforward and didn't whisper or like this. The Bible tells you that the Lord, when he speaks, it's like thunder. Amen?
Amen.
And that when he spoke on the mount, that the people were so frightened that they fell on their faces. Benny Hinn, any person from the Catholic cult, they don't have any power to knock you down. That's just people that are believing it. Some of these people have demon possessions. And I would never say that anybody has a demon possession, because I would, if they were of the Lord, because I would be blaspheming the Holy Spirit myself, and I would never be forgiven for that. But you can be well assured that Benny Hinn is not of the Lord, because God doesn't go back on his word. He doesn't say that Roman Catholic cult is the Antichrist and then have somebody leading you into it. God doesn't contradict himself. So always remember that, okay? All right, now let's go into the book of Romans, chapter 6. Sharon, with this 23 verses, translation and commentary.
The power of sin is broken. King James Version, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death.
Right, we're buried with him in baptism unto death, and we're also, our old man is nailed to the cross with him. So we're totally dead. The old us, the old me or I or myself, is dead now with Christ. Because, why? Because he died because of me. And so therefore, if I believe that, then I too must give myself as a living sacrifice. The Bible says that that's my reasonable duty and your reasonable duty as well, to stop doing what you're doing now as far as your former life is concerned. Everything has to change. And you are hidden with him now. You're nailed with him on the cross and buried with him in baptism and then resurrected from the dead unto eternal life by the Holy Spirit. Okay, then what?
That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
Yeah, because we're raised up with him. Why? Because we're his body. We're the church. We're the New Jerusalem. We're his bride. His bride and him are one. We're connected. God, the Word of God actually, through the Apostle Paul, tells us how much like marriage is to being married to Christ as his bride. It's like we have, we're one body. We're connected. We're bone of her bone and flesh of her flesh. If you're married, you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. That's what we are. Is we are out of the body of Christ, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, but we're raised by his Spirit. Okay, then what?
Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
So we are also, if we go to the cross and die out to our own life, we're also resurrected and we're also ascended with him. Then what?
Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin.
In other words, it's saying that because of the fact, we have to accept the fact that we are crucified with him, otherwise, and buried with him in baptism, or otherwise we're just going to keep living the same life we lived before. So we have to receive it into our minds and our spirit, our soul, that we are dead to our old life with him. Because the life that he lived before, he died, and it was in our place. So therefore, we have to liken ourselves as being dead with him, because he died for us that we deserved. Now, we're not physically dead, but we're dead to our old life. Okay, then what?
Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin.
Yeah, well, now, that doesn't mean we're free from ever being tempted to sin again, but it does mean that we have been loosed by the power of God through resurrection so that we don't have to sin anymore. And we're free from the law also because we have been forgiven for all of our sins, and therefore the police officer can't come and arrest us anymore because we did no wrong. But if we go and sin some more, well, then the police officer, the law, is then goes into action again against us, and there's no more forgiveness for us. Okay, is what the Bible is truly saying. Then what else?
Verse 8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him.
Right, now the Bible does say, well, now if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father through the Son, Christ Jesus. That means if we sin sins of ignorance. And then Paul even goes on to say that there are some sins that are unto death, which you cannot be forgiven for, and there are sins that are not unto death. These are sins of ignorance. All right, then what?
Verse 9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him.
Right, death has no more dominion over us if we follow the, if we drink the milk of the Word, like a baby, if it's born, it's born. It's not in this mother womb anymore. And it's just going to live, providing it continues eating the milk and getting fed every day and getting its diapers changed every day and so on and so forth and being taken care of. And it's the same thing when we're born again. We didn't do anything to be born, and we didn't do anything to get born again. But after we're born, then there's a responsibility. Eventually, we're going to have to be responsible for ourselves. And eventually, we have teachers, preachers, pastors, evangelists, and prophets and helpers that's going to help us along until we're able to start functioning in the church ourselves. And so the Lord tells us immediately after we're saved to deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow Him. So, yes, the free gift has been given to us. We're given life, but now we have to start planning our future in the spiritual realm. We have to start figuring out, let the Spirit show us where in the body of Christ do we fit. We are told exactly what we're supposed to do, and that's what you're supposed to do. All right, then what?
Verse 10, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God.
Yeah, he died for our sins once, and now that he lives, he has to live for the Lord. And once we die out to sin, then we live unto the Lord ourselves. Our whole life then is for the Lord, to live our life out for God. Okay, otherwise you're not saved. You don't believe the Bible. The Bible says, believe on the word of God and thou shalt be saved. What is it? No, it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ is the word of God. The word of God is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God, and still is God. And the Word came into this world as a man, flesh. The Bible says so. The first chapter of John, read it, and you'll see. So the Word is Christ. So if you believe the whole Word of God, you're saved. And that means you're going to believe in the continuation of serving the Lord. Yes, we didn't do anything to be born. We didn't do anything to be born again. But now that we're born, when we were born, we started learning things and doing things and couldn't wait to do things. And when you get born again, you just can't wait to do something for the Lord. You can't just sit around idle. I know I have a couple of sons. One of them, Sion, he just can't wait to do something. I mean, he always wanted to, he wants to learn to drive a car. He wants to do this. He's got a little car now. He can't wait to be a man. And that's the way a Christian should feel. Amen?
Yeah.
All my boys want to learn how to do stuff. They want to be men. One of them is a champion jockey. I mean, this guy has won over 2,000 and some odd races on a horse, and race horses. And that's what he wanted to do. He couldn't wait to do that. But people that are true Christians can't wait to do something for the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Because when you're born, you want to just grow up fast. Then when you get to be about 50 or 60, you want to go back to where you're about 15 or 20 again. You never are satisfied, you know? And so when you're saved, boy, you want to get going for the Lord. And you say, well, a lot of these phonies say, well, you don't have to do anything. God, I couldn't help from doing something. I can't wait. The more I can do for the Lord, the better I like it. I couldn't wait to get to become big in the Lord. I just wanted to be. There was a desire, a hunger for me to win souls, to be a great soul winner for the Lord. And now I am. And I want to even be a greater soul winner for the Lord. And the way I can do that is to teach you how to be a greater soul winner for the Lord. Because I know you want to be a great soul winner for the Lord if you're really saved. So let's all get busy together. We're one body. I'm not any better than you. We're all one body. How can my heart be, how can my head be more important than my heart, or my heart more important than my head? Amen?
Amen.
Or my spirit be more important than my, or less important than my heart, or my soul, or my head? I need all of the parts of my body to be a whole person. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so you have to, let's get busy. Let's muck schnell. Amen?
Amen.
Let's arbeiten. Arbeiten in the German language, which I'm not German. That means work. Let's work. Let's work and see. I got a little bit of term maybe. Trabajo in Spanish. Come on. Trabajo for the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Let the Lord trabajo in and through you. Let him arbeiten in and through you. Okay, then what?
Verse 11. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yes, and if you're in Jesus Christ our Lord, then you're the actual incarnation of him on earth. There are not just one incarnation, but all of us together are one body, which in our head happens to be Christ, and we can't do anything that our head doesn't want us to do. Our head is going to guide us and lead us and direct us, just like your head directs your entire body that you're living in right now and that Christ is living in right now with the Father by the Spirit. If you're saved, then what?
Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof.
That's right, then what?
Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Translation, verse 1 through 13. The power of sin is broken. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more kindness and forgiveness? Verse 2. Of course not! Exclamation mark. Since we have died to sin, how can we sin any longer or continue to live in sin? Bracket, because we're dead. And bracket. Verse 3. Why have you forgotten that we have become Christians and were baptized to become one with Christ Jesus, that we died with him in it? Verse 4. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Verse 5. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised as he was. Verse 6. Our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Verse 7. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Verse 8. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also share his new life.
Right, so we share his new life. That means the Lord never sat around idle, saying God the Father is going to do everything, because God the Father was in him, just like God the Father is in you. God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And Christ is in you as well, if you're born again of the Spirit. So the fullness of the Godhead bodily is in you, and so you're now living the life of Christ. And Christ, again, doesn't sit around idle. He's very busy doing intercession. He's busy leading, guiding, and directing his whole body here on earth, all of its members, and he's telling everyone, giving them important inside information as to what they should do today and what they shouldn't do, where to go and where not to go, and all sorts of other things. Okay, then what?
Verse 9. We are sure of this because Christ rose from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. Verse 10. He died once to defeat sin, and now he lives for the glory of God. Verse 11. So you must consider yourselves dead to sin, and that you're able to live for the glory of God through Christ Jesus. Verse 12. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to its lustful desires. Verse 13. Do not let any part of your body become a tool of wickedness to be used for sinning with. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, since you have been given new life, and use your whole body as a tool to do what is right for the glory of God.
To allow the Lord to do it through you. Just continue on with translation here.
Verse 14. Sin is no longer your master, for you are no longer subject to the law, which enslaves you to sin.
Which condemns you of sin is what Paul means. Because if you sin again, then the law will condemn you again. Then what?
Instead, you are free by God's power.
Because you're not condemned by the law anymore. as long as you don't sin anymore. Then what?
Freedom to obey God, verse 15. So since God's power has set us free from the law, does this mean we can go on sinning? Of course not, exclamation mark, verse 16.
I just don't like the way that Paul says that, because he straightens it out later, but it could be so much more easily have stated, the way that I'm straightening it out now. Go ahead.
Don't you realize that whatever you choose to obey becomes your Lord and Master? You can choose sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God and receive His approval. Verse 17, thank God! Exclamation mark. Once you were slaves of sin, but now you have obeyed with all your heart the new teaching God has given you. Verse 18.
Well, and obeyed the Spirit, because there's no way to obey the teaching without having the Spirit of God in you, and by obeying its, you may call it, impulses. Then what else?
Now you are free from sin, your old master, and you have become slaves to your new master, righteousness of God. Verse 19. I speak this way using the illustration of slaves and masters, because it's easy to understand. Before you let yourselves be slaves of impurity and lawlessness, now you must choose to be slaves of righteousness so that you will become holy. Verse 20. In those days when you were slaves of sin, you weren't concerned with doing what was right. Verse 21. And what was the result? It was not good, since now you're ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. Verse 22. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. Verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord.
All right. Now, that was chapter 6 of Romans, the 23 verses, and the translation. Now, the commentary.
Paul's teaching in chapter 5, verse 20 through 21, that increased sin before we were saved should make us happy or more thankful to God because of the increased power that saved our souls. And because of this, Paul thought that many people were liable to distort the meaning of this. Some people might claim that if by sinning they were providing God an opportunity to display the generosity and greatness of His power, that they should sin more and more so God could forgive them more and more. But that is the exact opposite of what the truth is. 6 verse 2. The idea of Christians continuing in sin is entirely contrary to the entire gospel, the entire Bible. Sin is hateful and eternally destructive and causes death. Those who have died to the love of sin and ruling power of sin must never want to live in it any longer. 6 verse 3. Water baptism is symbolic of the believer's union with Christ in His death, His burial, verse 4, and resurrection, verse 4 and 5, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. 6, verse 6. Our old man is our pre-conversion life. It's the life that we lived before we were saved, before we became Christians, under the unrestrained dominion of the flesh, in other words, the sin nature. The body of sin refers to the sinful nature that was there within us, not to the human body. The Greek verb translated means, quote, done away with, unquote. It does not mean to become extinct, but to be defeated or deprived of power. 6 verse 11, dead, dot, 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 to sin, means that we're not controlled by the love of sin or its ruling power in our lives. Dead to its enslaving power, but not dead to all of its influence. See verses 12, 13, 15, and 16. 6 verse 12. Therefore, a natural conclusion from verses 2 through 11 is that if we are dead to the ruling power of sin, and if sin has eternal destructive effects on our lives, then, of course, we must not let it reign in our bodies at all. 6 verse 13. We have a continual choice day after day whether to yield ourselves to sin or to God. Members, various parts of our bodies, representative of all aspects of our lives. 6 verse 14. The Bible tells us that if we walk in the Holy Spirit, then we're free from all sin. We're not able to sin any longer. James chapter 3 verse 2, 1 John chapter 1 verse 8 and 10.
That is correct, because if you're walking according to the Holy Spirit doesn't sin, so therefore the Spirit of God that you're living in cannot sin. Then what?
The Bible tells us that there are sins of ignorance that we can be forgiven for. We also should never say that this one sin has defeated me if it was done in ignorance. Never say, I give up. The power of Christ's resurrection at work within us, verse 4 and 5. All power in heaven and on earth belongs to the Lord, so we have the power in Him, verses 4, 5, and 11. This power is greater than any of Satan's power. Satan would love to give us the power to sin, but the power in us is more than able to overcome that. No matter how long established in our lives, we can get rid of it. We can shake it because we must. To be under law...
Well, because of the power of God, we can shake it. It's we're more than conquerors in Christ, in the power, in the Holy Spirit. Then what?
To be under law is to be under a system of trying to earn salvation. To be under law means that we're condemned by the law. That means that we're sinning. If we stop sinning, then we're free from the law of sin and death. We're not able to earn salvation on our own strength by obeying the law, because no one ever did obey the law until we received the power. But when Christ came, He brought forth grace and truth. Grace means power. God's power for us to be able to keep the whole law, so that we don't come under the law anymore.
Under the penalty of the law any longer. Then what?
So that we don't come under the condemnation of the law, the penalty of the law. To be under the power of life in Christ Jesus is to be justified and to live by the indwelling, resurrected power of Christ, the death power, resurrection power, and ascension power of Christ, the renewing power of Christ. We have already died to sin, not because of the law forbidding it, but because of the power of God that lives in us, all the resources that God that lives in us provides for us. Some false prophets say that it doesn't matter if we disobey God's commands or His moral commandment because they are no longer under the law. Such an interpretation is totally contrary to the entire Bible and totally contrary to the Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter, and all of the apostles' discussion and explanation of sin, and to Jesus' own words about the law, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 through 20. In another place, the Lord says that He didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it, to show the world that keeping the commandments is possible by the power of God living in people, and that we must keep the commandments or else we'll die. He said, quote, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Ezekiel 18:20, 6 verse 15 through 23. Once again, Paul responds to the supposition that power permits sin, verse 1. He uses the analogy of slavery to combat a casual attitude towards sin and issues a stern warning on the serious consequences of yielding to sin. 6 verse 16. A person is a slave to that which he gives obedience or that which he recognizes as his master. If he obeys the commands of sin, then sin is his master, and he is moving in the direction of eternal death in hell and the lake of fire. If he obeys the commands of righteousness by the power of God over sin, then righteousness is his master, and he experiences true eternal life. 6 verse 17 and 18. All of Paul's readers, once slaves of sin, had renounced sin as master and had committed themselves as slaves of righteousness. 6 verse 19 through 23. Paul uses the human analogy of slavery in appealing to his disciples for holiness and to all of us for holiness by the power of God living in us. In doing so, he He reminds his readers of the contest between the old, unregenerated life and the new, regenerated life. Slaves of sin do not recognize the obligation to righteousness. They don't realize how hideous sin is and the eternal torment it will cause them, but rather abandon themselves to a process of moral deterioration, which has death as its reward or end. Verse 21. Slaves of God, on the other hand, devote themselves to holiness, a world that leads to everlasting life. Verses 19 and 22. Verse 23 summarizes the consequences of the two types of slavery.
All right, praise the Lord. Now we have part two of knowing the ascension.
The necessity of knowing the position of our salvation. Why do we need to know where we stand in salvation? For us to be able to know the ascension, the second thing we need to know is where we stand as far as our salvation is concerned. Although when we were saved from a horrible judgment and bought into forgiveness of our former sins, and we remain alive from the condition of death, and therefore we obtain God's eternal life. Still, forgiveness of sins and the obtaining of eternal life can be considered as our position of our salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6 tell us that, quote, when we were dead because of our trespasses, our sins, God made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with him and made us to sit with him in the heavenly places. This shows that every man, woman, and child who is saved is not only one whose sins are forgiven, they are not only ones who are made alive eternally from death and now possess God's life, but also we are ones who sit in the heavenly places. We are sons of God. We also are people of ascension. When the Lord Jesus Christ saves us, he causes us to ascend with him and sit with him in the heavens.
Right. If we're one in Christ, we have to be connected in one way or another, and that the only way that is possible is through his ascension. Okay. Because if we're you know, the Bible clearly states that we are sitting with him in heavenly places. All right, then what?
Therefore, ascension truly is the final stage of our salvation. So the stage of ascension which we have obtained from the Lord rests not only on the fact of ascension, which God has accomplished for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, but also on the eternal life of ascension, which we have obtained within us. In the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul asks us to set our mind on the things that are above. This is based on the fact that Christ is our eternal life, our immortality. Christ is sitting in the heavenly places at the right hand of God. Because we have him as our eternal life, we also are hid with him in God. This reveals that neither in his death nor in his resurrection, but in his ascension, Christ caused us to obtain his eternal life and became our eternal life. Although this life has passed through death and resurrection, yet it is in the actual place of ascension that Christ gives this eternal life to us. He dispensed eternal life to us from heaven.
Right, and the reason that he dispensed eternal life for us in heaven and that we are ascended with him is because we are to reign with him. He said that all power in heaven and on earth is given unto him. Now, it was given to Satan for a long period of time until Christ came. But Christ destroyed the works of Satan and is now sitting above all things, and we're sitting there with him. And now, therefore, God gave the power and dominion and authority over this world, and man lost it because he sinned. But now that we're sinless, now because we don't sin any longer and we're sitting with Christ in heavenly places, we now have power and dominion over heaven and earth with Christ. And so therefore, whatsoever we bind here on earth in prayer shall also be bound in heaven. And whatsoever we loose here on this earth is also loosed in heaven. All right, go ahead.
This eternal life is ascended and heavenly and is given to us from heaven. It is an eternal life which reaches heaven and communes in heaven and lives in heaven. Therefore, once we obtain this eternal life, we have fellowship with heaven and are united to heaven. Although according to outward conditions we still live on earth, yet according to the inner life or the spiritual realm, we are already in heaven. Why? Because it says so in the Bible.
Why? Because that's just we're Christ's body, and he's sitting there in heaven, and he's everywhere, and we're also here on earth. Then what else?
That way, our situation is the same as the Lord's during his time on earth. He said at that time that though he descended out of heaven, he was still, quote, in heaven, unquote, John chapter 3, verse 13. This was because of the fact that his life is eternal and heavenly and is connected totally with heaven. I've told you before of the electric light bulbs in all the houses throughout the city. These lights inside of our houses give light because of the electric current that comes from the powerhouse within it. It's because the electric current...
No, it's up within somewhere in the city. Then what? In the current inside of it. Yes. Then what?
It's because the electric current has originated from the power plant and is connected with the power plant. Therefore, speaking truly, it is the power plant that shines forth in this light bulb and into the room. So we have to respect the electric current within the bulb, and we have to also realize that this current that's flowing through it and into it, the position of it is at the power plant. It's the same thing as when we are saved, brothers and sisters, sons of God. We can be manifested in this dispensation of time that we're living in as shining lights. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and 16. Because of the ascended life which saves us and is now within us. This life flows into us from heaven, not from earth, not from the cross, not from the resurrection only, because it takes the combination of the cross, the resurrection, and the ascension. All this is connected with heaven. It flows into us from heaven, and it also takes us up to heaven, or brings us to heaven. With this eternal life that is connected with heaven, we are also a people that is connected with heaven. Therefore, just as the standpoint of Christ's ascension is the very conclusion of his redemption, even so, from our standpoint, ascension is the position or the level of our salvation, or the position of our salvation. We've got to know this. We've got to know our redemption, our salvation, and that it comes from heaven. We need to know the standpoint of it.
I know I'm sitting in heavenly places with the Lord, spiritually. That's where I'm at. I pray that you shall know that as well, that you know that as well, and those of you that don't, that you shall know it. All right, you've heard Romans 6, chapter 6, with his 23 verses. Translations and now commentary, and also part two of Knowing the Ascension. Tune in tomorrow to hear Romans chapter 7 and also part three of Knowing the Ascension. And we'll have a couple of letters for you then as well. Until then, this is Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord.
Thank you for joining us for today's broadcast. To reach Tony Alamo Christian Ministries by mail, write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries Worldwide, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, USA. To reach us by phone, call 479-782-7370, 479-782-7370. Our web address is www.alamoministries.com. Listen to Tony Alamo by going to www.wmqm1600.com. Tell a friend and keep listening. If you would like to help Tony Alamo Ministries, send all donations to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries Worldwide, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, USA.